You're listening to the Confidence Podcast, your favorite coaching podcast oozing with motivation, inspiration, and confidence to help you boldly take action on your dreams. I'm your host, Trish Blackwell, internationally recognized confidence coach, best-selling author, and founder of the College of Confidence, the most encouraging place on the internet. I teach go-getters in life how to take their thoughts captive, how to step out of the shadows of self-doubt, and how to courageously step into their purpose with confidence. It's time to pump our confidence muscles and train our thoughts, y'all. Let's get started. Hey guys, it's Trish Blackwell, your confidence coach, and you're listening to the Confidence Podcast. This is episode 471. Comparison is killing your confidence and your happiness. Now, if you're a first-time listener, I want to say welcome to the show. I believe that it's not by accident that you are here. I'm so glad that we've crossed paths, and I want you to know that this show is a place where you can always count on to be encouraged and to be built up and feel less alone, because confidence is not a destination. It's an intention, it's a thought pattern, it's a choice in how we want to show up in this world with confidence and with courage. And here in the show, you have hundreds and hundreds of episodes that are gonna teach you the actual thought processes, the strategy, and the skills to doing that and to showing up and being confident, even if you don't feel confident. So, hey, today, comparison. Really, what comparison is it's a default thought pattern that kills your confidence and your, and really more importantly, your happiness. The good news is you can learn how to neutralize its negative impact on your life. In this podcast episode, I'm going to give you 21 comparison detox strategies, along with 12 happiness hygiene habits that are going to help you be victorious in your mental management of comparison in your life. End of the day, comparison is rooted in fear, and you can uproot both fear and comparison from your life with this, starting with this coaching. As always, you can get the full show notes at my website, trishblackwell.com/471. I can't believe it. It's almost December. Y'all, we are inching up on 2022. Now is the time to start doing your year review. It's the time to start forecasting and visualizing what you want for the upcoming year of your life. What do you want 2022 to be? What is that? I want you to think big. And then even realize that your thinking big is probably small for what God has planned for you. But are you willing to believe in bigger? And that is one of my favorite things at this time of year. You guys have heard me mention this on the previous, last week's episode. We announced our couple open spots, and I have a few more available for my 2022 strategy sessions. We call them strategy sessions. It's a 75-minute planning session where you and I go face-to-face, privately, on Zoom, and I record it for you. We give you action steps. It's a goal and purpose planning session. Now, this is going to be working. This is effective for you if you know exactly what you want. And also if you know, you don't know, if you go, I just really need to figure out what my purpose is this year and how to step into it. And we're going to do strategy, mindset, affirmation, specific journaling exercises specific to you and your exact need. And then, of course, it also comes with quarterly check-ins where I'm going to support your goals throughout the year based on this strategy that we've put out, our action plan for you for 2022, so that you can make 2022 the best year of your life. It's a decision. That you're going to have the best year of your life. We don't hope for the best year of our life. We decide that it's going to be. If you want to grab one of those last 2022 strategy sessions, send me an email. It's trish@trishblackwell.com. The strategy sessions are an investment in your year. It's $9.97 to get started. I will give you all that info and how to get started after you email me. So I will, for the right person, it can be the game-changing thing that changes your year. And that's what I've heard over and over from the folks who did it last year. Particularly this week, I want to talk to you about the sneaky way that fear shows up in comparison and what the fear underneath the comparison is doing to your confidence and your future. I mentioned earlier that there are such things as happiness hygiene habits. So I'm going to share some of them with you, and then how they help you when you implement them consistently, how they help you detox toxic comparison from your default thinking patterns. We're going to talk about the difference today about from unmanaged comparison versus managed and what to do about it other than saying something I know you've said, because I've said it before. I know I shouldn't be comparing myself, but like we always like pad things with like, I know I shouldn't compare, but now how to get out of that loop and how to really find freedom from comparison. And then we're going to talk also about taking ownership of your relationship with comparison and your relationship with your own level of happiness in your life. Now, before that, I always like to do a review of the week because reviews make the show go round. Now, that's an exaggeration, but they certainly do encourage me. And what they do is they tell other future listeners if the show's worth listening to. So if you have been blessed by this show, I would ask that you bless somebody else by letting them know. So share with a friend, right? Post on your social media. Sharing is caring, but also writing a review so that somebody who is just, you know, searching in the podcast app of choice might find that this show, if they're choosing this show versus another one to give a try, that this is the one they say yes to. So here's what Christina Slater said, just what I needed, 5 stars. For years now, I've been working on bettering myself, getting out of my own head, working on my anxiety. Even when I've become better, I could still tell something was missing. I did a random search for confidence podcasts, and this one came up. From the first episode I listened to, I was completely drawn in. I felt like I was being heard and that this is where I was going to get that extra help, that boost that I needed. That was for Trish. I've been listening to more and more and constantly finding new tools, new practices, and just uplifting words to keep pumped throughout the day. What made this even better is that Trish is a woman of faith. And for me personally, that was God's way of telling me, look here, it's his wink, his God wink to me. I'd highly recommend this podcast. Christina, sister, I'm so glad that God brought us together. It's my privilege to get to serve you through words of encouragement and through reminding you of just the power you have in your thoughts, the thoughts that God has given you. So how to direct them to go step into the calling he has for you. Love it. I'm proud of you. Thank you for sharing. And just a reminder, guys, if you love the show and you want to help support it, hop over into my Patreon page for all the options. We have 5 different tiers where you can be a VIP, part of my VIP squad, and get a shout out on the air and pick an upcoming specific topic for what you need. Or we have a option just to say, hey, thanks, here's a cup of coffee, Trish. Or we also have a $7 a month option that includes weekly journaling prompts. So if you wanted to go deeper in journaling, that's a great place to start. You can find out everything you need to know at trishblackwell.com/Patreon, and that's PATREON. Now let's coach on comparison. And can we get real? Can we start off with just a real conversation? Comparison is fear. And it's funny, I've never really consistently framed it that way before until I was putting together my research and my show notes for today's episode. It's fear, though. And I went through my own personal story and my own narrative of, okay, well, when I compare here, if I pull back the layers and the onion layers and peel it back, what's at the core? And every time I did, the core is fear. And the last time I checked, fear is not of God. And I love this because it frees me. So if I go to my comparison, it's fear that I'm not enough. It's fear that I don't belong. It's fear that I don't stand out. It's fear that I don't have anything to say. It's fear that I'm not measuring up. I'm not doing enough. Fear that it's fear. And I love. And whether you are a Christian or not, or maybe you're just seeking spiritually, I can tell you for me and from a place of faith, I love the Bible and the Word of God. And everywhere in the Word of God, everywhere in the Bible, it's fear not. That fear is not of God. There's promise after promise that God frees us from our fears. And how is that possible? Because when you know that God's for you, not against you, and that you are covered in his grace and that he has a good things planned for you, all of the fears and the things that we can't control, all of it disappears. And so I can give my brain permission to feel the fear, because fear is part of human life, right? It's part of the human experience, and then let it pass through, because it doesn't belong in me or on me. It's just a human thing to have. I truly believe that there's an enemy of my soul that uses fear to try to persuade me out of the light and joy into sadness and depression. Because if I'm afraid, I shrink. When Trish gets afraid, she plays small. When Trish gets afraid, she thinks, I shouldn't write that blog post. They're going to say this. Or who am I to? Or I downplay. And when I get afraid, if I believe the fear, I render myself pretty useless to serving the world, to helping improve other people's lives, to just even loving authentically. I become very self-focused, very insecure, very self-doubting, very self-critical. And all that robs me of the freedom and the generosity that I have in this life, that I can make a difference in the world. I can spread love. I can improve, that I can leave the world better than I found it. And I believe that God put me on this earth at this time for a reason. And in the same breath, I believe the same to be true for you. And so God, I love this. God always wins. Good always wins. Love always wins. God is love. Fear is not of God. And since I know that, that means I have the victory and the permission to already live by faith, not fear. So let's pause this for a minute. Think about the comparison in your own life. And then I want you to fill in this sentence. When I feel not enough in this area, right? Because that not enough, that inadequacy, typically we phrase it in our brain as I'm not enough, I'm not doing enough, I'm not skinny enough, I'm not successful enough, I'm not whatever, right? You fill in the enough. Usually that enough, it will, if let's just look at this logically, in comparison, what is enough? If we're not enough, it means we are naturally that in a state of comparison, because if it's not enough, we'll compare to what? Because you only get not enough if you're comparing. So that's how we can trigger our brains first and get awareness to, where am I comparing? I think sometimes we're very aware. Oh, I'm comparing my car to their car. Or I compared my outfit to theirs. Or I'm comparing my grades to his or hers. Or I'm comparing my children's behavior to theirs. We are sometimes very aware of certain comparisons in our life. But there are some comparisons that are happening below the surface. And we're just going, I don't know, I just don't feel enough. But I want you to, I just wanted to camp out here for a minute to help you realize, when you are feeling not enough, when you're feeling not enough, that you feel based on your thoughts. So you are thinking, I am not enough. And if you're thinking, I am not enough, it is always in comparison or contrast to somebody else. And that is your little red flag that goes, aha. Slow down here. Let's do some work here. This is where you're comparing. So here's how I want you to fill in the sentence. When I feel not enough in this area, blank, fill in the blank. Is it my looks, my finances, my relationships, my intelligence? When I feel not enough in this area, I am actually just afraid that blank. So when I'm feeling not enough, when I'm feeling not pretty enough, right? Let me give you an example. I'm afraid that I won't actually be loved. Like, I want to get to the, what is that fear? And if you go, well, I'm afraid people might not like me. If, like, you're, again, you and I get to be vulnerable. You might not tell anybody else this, but I'm the girl you get to tell this stuff to. And maybe it's, I feel like they might not like me. But that's not the real fear. The fear is that I'm not likable, or I won't have a good friend group, right? Like, let's get very specific. I often like to coach my students in the College of Confidence to break your fear in these internal thoughts in your brain down to identifying as if, like, my 4-year-old or my 6-year-old could understand. Okay, so let's do this. I'm going to fill it. For me, when I feel not popular enough, I'm afraid that I'm awkward and that I don't belong and that I don't matter. It's pretty hard to realize that those are the actual thoughts. And instead, typically we go, well, I just need to do better. I need to post cooler things. Like, what really we need to identify what the fear is. Sometimes we go into overdrive and action. I'm just going to fix this. And what we want to do is come to have a conversation with the little us that is inside. Little Trish, I'm sorry you're afraid that you don't matter, but you do. And the fear that you don't matter is a fear straight from the pit of hell. Because you do matter. And how do I know that? Because God says I do. right? He says I'm his masterpiece. And I have a purpose. It's the same for you. So I'd like to break it down. I want to invite you to break it down into a little conversation you can have with yourself and go, because if we can identify, well, what is it that I'm actually afraid of? We can get off of the spin cycle of comparison. Okay, my other one for me is when I feel not fit enough or skinny enough, my real fear is I'm afraid that my body will keep me from being loved and that people won't like me. Oh, it's pretty sad to read, aren't they? But you know what? We take the gross power of fear away when we just label it for what it is and identify what's going on. When I feel not pretty enough, you know, I wasn't told growing up often that I was pretty and didn't grow up in a big words of affirmation family. And so this was an area I've always struggled with. So when I feel not pretty enough, I'm afraid that people won't like me or see me and that everyone is more valuable than me. Wow. We can only start doing something when there are fears and talking back to the fear and calling the fear how ridiculous it is if we actually realize, what am I afraid of? Here's another one. And when I feel not successful enough, like maybe as a parent or in my business, or I should do more. I need to do more. I'm not doing enough. I'm actually afraid that I'm wasting my potential and that I'll disappoint God. Oof. So I can talk back to that fear and go, wait a second. There's nothing wasted. I'm willing to be brave and show up, and I'm growing more and more every day. We take that fear and then we can start talking back to it. And I want you to recognize how the feeling, not enough, we recognize that feeling and then we pull back from our feelings to our thoughts, and it's our thoughts that are fear-based thoughts that are creating the not enough feeling. And those thoughts and feelings are both driven from the action of comparison. So I wanted to help you see that comparison is an action that you are choosing to engage in. I think sometimes we sort of use this caveat or this crutch of like, well, I just can't help it. I compare myself. And I want to propose to you today that you can help it. Your brain's still going to default. Your brain's still going to be a human brain where you're like, here I am comparing myself. And that's where you go, oh, let me be the observer to my brain and go, interesting, here I am comparing myself again. All right. Well, comparison is an action that's often driven by fear of fear and lack. And I believe that I have nothing to fear and that I am free from fear and that I live in a place of abundance and God will always provide for me an absolute provision. Therefore, I can just go, interesting, and let the feeling pass. And I don't have to continue to take action on the comparison. This episode is brought to you by FreshBooks. There's a lot to love about being your own boss, but trying to figure out your financials on your own just honestly isn't one of those things. Luckily, there's FreshBooks, the all-in-one accounting solution that's built for business owners like me and like you. FreshBooks takes all of the not-so-fun parts of running a business, from building and tracking invoices to organizing expenses to managing online payments, and automates and simplifies them, saving up to 11 hours a week in the process. FreshBooks has your back at tax time too, with tons of experts to choose from. You'll know exactly where your business stands, and you can easily hand the keys over to your accountant so they can take over when it's time to reconcile everything for the year. Try FreshBooks for free for 30 days, no credit card required. Go to freshbooks.com/confidence to get started today and to get back to more time to build the business you love. Unmanaged comparison just isn't helpful. Honestly, we're looking at this behavior of action and all of your actions. I want you to look at this through the lens of, does this help me or does this hurt me? Does this serve me or does it make me stagnant? And there are certain actions I take that hurt me, for sure. And there are certain ones that help me. It's not good or bad, right? We don't want to take this moral high road of judgment. Oh, I can't believe I compare. It's so bad. I know I shouldn't. It's awful. No, that doesn't, honestly, that just puts you in a loop. We want to just realize, gosh, I'm on a mission to let go of unhelpful thinking. And since that's part of my mission, that's going to help me show up as a better version of myself, then I want to realize that unmanaged comparison just isn't helpful. Now, what is unmanaged comparison compared to managed comparison? Unmanaged comparison is unaware, often the one that we were talking about before where you go, I don't know why I don't feel enough. Well, it's because you're unknowingly, very actively comparing yourself and letting your brain be this wild toddler who is consistently and constantly measuring yourself versus other people. So it's unaware. It's focused on others instead of yourself. There's a default setting to it. You just go back and automatically you start comparing. There's comparing up and comparing down, meaning like you're comparing to somebody else to make yourself feel better. Oh, at least I'm not doing that. Or at least I'm prettier than her. Or comparing down and comparing yourself down and being like, man, they're so much better than me because blank, right? Or fear-based motivation, which as I said, it's so often it is fear-based. Now, managed comparison is intentional. It's the opposite. It's intentional. It's internally focused in a healthy way. It's data-driven, not emotionally driven, right? Unmanaged comparison is very fear-based, which is an emotion, emotionally driven comparison. I want to talk about data-driven comparison or focused with purpose outside of oneself. And that becomes very different. Managed comparison is looking at your growth and saying, wow, I am recovering from self-criticism in just, 5 minutes when I used to spiral for 2 hours and beat myself up for a mistake. That is comparing myself in the present to the growth I've had from the past. What a beautiful, I mean, I'm so encouraged. Or it's focused in a healthy way. It's, I see somebody who is ahead, they're ahead of me. I don't want to call it finish line, but if we go with the adage, don't compare your foundation to someone else's finish line. You go, wow, I'm building my foundation and I'm looking at where they are. And that excites me because those who are ahead of me are an example of what is possible, not a thing to feel dejected over or compare myself negatively, but I can compare myself in an inspirational way to what is ahead of me. And then I can look at where have I come from to where am I going and get data to realize that as I'm growing, and if I'm growing, that means I'm going in, I'm on my way. So it's data driven or focused with purpose outside of yourself. And what I really want to point out to you too is when you compare, you're looking around, you're just all of a sudden, it takes you from point A to point B to making the journey from point A to point B to have 5 other different stopping points, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, O, P, and then back to B. Because where you look, your life follows. And we get so distracted looking around that it makes your journey longer and it makes you less effective. Comparison isn't effective unless you're comparing in a managed comparison way that's focused and healthy and data-driven to just inspire you to continue to grow. I do this in business, right? I do it in my own growth, in my flexibility, I'm comparing my growth in my pull-up goals, right? So that's exciting to see the growth with the purpose of the person you're becoming, it's not fear-based of like, I need to prove myself and be better now. Managed comparison is very patient. Unmanaged comparison is very striving and scattered. So stay in your own lane. Trust the story that God has given you. Because there's no comparison. It's apples to oranges. It's not even fruit to vegetables. Everyone's path is different. And I often find people saying, I know I shouldn't be comparing myself, but, and to short circuit that, I wanted to provide you with 3 quick things that you can do. And that is to be gracious and neutral about your comparing habits. And you do that by saying, this is when my brain goes to its default mode. And it goes back to thinking that comparison is helpful. Oh, hey brain, you're being silly. We now know that these comparing default settings I have, they're not helpful. I'm going to let them pass. I'm going to choose to focus and think on something different. So be crazy, be kind to yourself and try to neutralize it. Don't beat yourself up and go, I know I shouldn't compare. I just can't help it, right? Number 2 is I want you to tell your brain or remind your brain that you're in charge. Hey, I'm in charge here. Here's what we're going to think on instead. It's amazing how simple it is, but it really works. And number three, convert comparison into inspiration. If you find yourself really struggling to not compare yourself to a certain person or a scenario, then say, okay, instead of allowing this to make me feel less than and not enough and fear-based, I'm not doing enough, I'm going to be inspired. I'm going to thank that person with gratitude for the example they've set me to call me to a higher standard, to remind me that excellence is a daily decision, that extraordinary things happen by doing the ordinary things with extraordinary consistency. And if I'm going to compare, I'm going to recognize that there's probably some consistency in which I can improve and I can get excited about doing what I know I can do. So thank you person for the inspiration and the reminder that I desire more. It's okay to desire more. I desire excellence. And this comparison just reminded me of that. It's time to step up my game. So get out of the place of beating yourselves up and being critical and feeling bad. Instead, go to a place of, what am I going to do about it right now? What am I going to change? How am I going to show up better? Do I dive more into coaching? Do I actually do the journaling that I hear Trish talk about? Do I sign up for the College of Confidence? Do I start showing up with more boldness, or do I keep thinking at all these things and have this great amount of head knowledge but not make it heart knowledge that I actually live out? And so, one of Ralph Waldo Emerson's my favorite quotes from him is, "The only person you're destined to become is the person you decide to be." I love this because I want to propose to you that one of the reasons we have this fear-based comparison is because we are so stuck in the false story that we hope we become somebody who matters. We hope that we have a good life. We hope that we make a difference in this world. And instead, I want to remind you of the power God has given you in your mind with your thoughts. Our brains are absolutely extraordinary. And you have the power of decision. You get to decide who you will be. You don't hope, you don't have to hope, well, gosh, I hope I become somebody. You decide to do that. You can, when you take yourself out of a place of, well, I hope this works out, and go to a place of decision, you don't get stuck in comparing and stressing about who you will be, because comparison only comes if you doubt who you are in the process of becoming. But decision is power. Think about it. We've been told ever since we were little that we can do anything we want to do and be anything we want to be. But were we really told that we can be the type of person we dream we want to be? Like, you don't just get to dream about what you want to achieve or do in this world. It's better than that. You get to decide who you want to be and decide to be that. When you decide, you believe that you will become that person. And then here's where the faith comes in. Here's where the confidence. Confidence is just another word for faith, really, if you break it down. Here's where the confidence comes in. I know I'll get there. You get to trust that you will get there. You will free yourself from the pressure and the way comparison chokes you out. You know, I'm sure you've heard the famous Teddy Roosevelt quote, "Comparison is a thief of joy." It steals your joy. You're throwing away your joy when you get into comparison. But when you decide that you already believe you're going to become that person, like as Emerson said, the only person you're destined to be is the person you decide to be. So you've made that decision of who you're becoming. You trust that you'll get there. So you don't, it's like, if I decide to drive to Florida, I drive to Florida. It's a 12-hour drive. Now, I don't hope, I just decide and I trust that I'll get there, and there's going to be traffic and there's going to be a detour and all of those things. And I could be like, well, I could have taken an airplane and gotten there 2 hours. Yeah, sure. But what's the point in comparing if ultimately I'm going to get there and I'm already in the car and the airplane has already left? So you trust that you get there and you release that there's no race to this. You don't have to race to this invisible finish line. And when you learn that there is no better than here, and someone whose quote unquote finish line might be more advanced than your own current foundation isn't necessarily happier or better than you. We somehow believe this lie that when you get there, there's better than here. And then when I get there, I get to be happy. And that's why we get so stuck in this fear-based comparison of, are we doing enough? Am I doing enough? Am I doing enough? But when you decide that happiness doesn't come from accomplishment or the finish line, but happiness comes from the growth and the goodness that God already has for you, not from what you will earn, earn when you finally get there, what that, how much money that will be, that title, that marriage, when you get that grade, when you have that many followers or you weigh that certain weight, but that you get to decide to be happy right now, that happiness is circumstance free, that it's not when you get there, then you can be happy. If you're happy where you are, you really have no desire to compare. Because if you're happy, then who cares if anybody else is happy? That's great. Your happiness will overflow. And it's so interesting. There's an interesting relationship between comparison and happiness. And I think sometimes we compare that people who are quote unquote further than us, or that we would compare ourselves to, and we feel like, gosh, if I could just be there, I'd be happy. If I could just be like them, I wouldn't have problems. Do not believe the lie that happiness means you don't have problems. So many of us are holding our breath, believing that really we'll only be happy when our weight is perfect and our debt is paid off, or that we don't have problems. Life has problems. God has told us that. You can look around. Problems are everywhere. You can't avoid them, which means if you keep thinking and you compare to the people you think are happy and that they have these certain things, and you compare yourself, and then that's where you don't feel enough. And then you're like, okay, I'm going to press and get there, and then I'll be happy. And you get there and you're like, wait, why am I not happy? Because there's still problems. So let's just look at the facts. There's beauty and some pain in all areas of life. I had somebody who recently said to me, I just want a happy and stress-free life. And I almost, it took everything in me to not laugh, because it doesn't work that way. Now you can live with reduced stress. I believe you can have a happy and stress-free life. But the way this was said to me was, I just want things to be easy. And the way you have a happy and stress-free free life is completely circumstance irrelevant, and it has to do with how you think. You can have a happy and stress-free life today, and it starts with how you think. You decide to be happy, and you decide to let the stress just be an emotion that passes you that you don't buy into. It's one that's this belief that happiness means you don't have problems is one of the things that drives you to comparison, because it drives you to a place of helplessness and discontentment, which fires up the comparison desire to a place of hyperdrive. Then the more you compare, the more you despair, and the further away you are from the happiness that you wanted in the first place. It's nuts. So I got some questions about happiness I really wanted you to dive into. First is, do you believe that happiness is available to you? Because until you believe that you can have it, you will constantly be chasing it, comparing everyone else's life to what you don't have. Number two, what does a happy life look like? And like, really pause here. I've done some coaching in the College Confidence with my students of like, you can say a happy life, but like, I just want a happy life. Okay. Like, if I was a third party person looking in, tell me what I would see. How do you carry yourself? What is your quality time with your family look like? What do you do for fun? How many hours a day do you work? Like, what does your happy life look like? And then the third thing is, will you allow yourself to experience, settle into, and fully enjoy being happy? This is a whole nother podcast topic, because sometimes we don't even allow ourselves to enjoy our moments of happiness out of guilt, out of shame, or out of fear that the other shoe's going to drop. So here are some general happiness hygiene habits that are going to help you reframe. Number one, focus on good things. I'm going to breeze through them because this is already starting to get long and I have a lot more to cover. If you want to work on this work, this is the work we do in the College of Confidence. Go to collegeofconfidence.com to find out more info. It's money back guarantee. There's no risk. It's cancel at any time from the click of a button within your profile. But if you want to go deep on freeing yourself from some of these thought patterns and really working at implementing this, connecting your head to your heart, then the COC is the place to be. General happiness hygiene habits, though, are to focus on good things. Two, find adventure in finding the good. Three, remember that circumstances happen for you, not to you. Four, spend time with positive people. You'll get that in the COC. Five, intentionally work on detoxing negativity. 6, cautiously monitor the cancers of the mind, which is comparison, criticism, and complaining. 7, start every day with a positive statement. 8, end every day with a positive statement. 9, practice active gratitude, not just, well, I'm a thankful person, like intentional, active practice of gratitude in your life. 10, keep a gratitude journal. 11, create pockets of peace and moments of margin into your schedule. And 12, practice self-compassion and allow yourself to enjoy life because you want to. Make sure, and when you do work on this happiness, make sure your happy thoughts are believable, not just trite and empty. So how do we take ownership to train your brain for happiness? Because what I'm proposing to you today is that the more you are overflowing with joy and gratitude and happiness in your own life, the more free you will be and distant you will be from a desire to compare, from a desire to perpetuate and allow fear to fester like black mold in your brain because you haven't pulled it out and identified it. And what we do is we take ownership that it's our happiness is our responsibility. So a couple of questions are this. Are you personalizing things or allowing emotional charge to make your circumstances feel out of control or that you can't help how you feel? Or how much time are you spending daily in intentional thought management? Again, this is what I coach on in the College of Confidence. Are you just listening to a podcast and going, I should feel better? I'm doing the work. Or are you actually doing the work? Are you doing gratitude? Are you doing affirmations? Are you personalizing your belief statements? Are you doing your toxic thought reframes? And I it's interesting because I want to help you with one way to take ownership of your brain is to use the word but. So something like I will never find love, right? Dejection, comparison. Everyone else has all these great relationships. I'm never going to find the right person. How about this? I will never find love if I keep staying at home and feeling sorry for myself. But if I start being more socially bold and I keep investing in my personal development and I continue nurturing my relationship with myself and I get out more, my luck might change. So the word but can be like a happiness magic wand. Here's another example. I feel like I'll never lose weight could become, I feel like I never lose weight if I keep making excuses like I am. But I know there are other people who used to feel as stuck as I did and they've decided to change and they made it happen. I can too. So training the brain for happiness is one, deciding to talk back to your thoughts, deciding to intentionally reframe every opportunity that you have. And here are some practical tools. I promised you 21 tools. And one we've already mentioned, some of these are going to overlap with your happiness habits. And again, the whole purpose of doing this is to give you the power to be free and to separate yourself from the fear-based comparison. And when you, number one, practice gratitude, things change. Number two, deepen contentment. Number three, understand the difference between what's happening in your behind-the-scenes life versus everyone else's filter life that you see. Number four, focus on your strengths. Number five, celebrate others. Number six, parent your screen use. Honestly, these habits that I'm reading to you, all 21 of these I'm about to read, all of these will shift your attachment to comparison. So much of social media chokes us out with comparison. It's like the mythological sirens who are, you know, singing to us. We're in the ship. It's the shipwreck waiting to happen. Yet we keep scrolling and we think it's okay. So parent your screen use. I have a whole workshop on that in the College of Confidence that is like on actual practical ways to parent your screen use and understand what's the right amount of screen use for you versus not. It's your responsibility, right? You can't just hope it gets better. You have to take action to make it better. Number seven, focus on the quality of your life. Not just what are you doing and how does your life look, but what's the actual quality of your life? And when you do that, it brings you to the present. So much comparison is as we said, fear-based, but also past-based and future-based. Number eight, name your inner critic. It gives it less power. You guys have heard me on previous episodes, and if you're in the College of Confidence, you know that my inner critic, her name's Trashy Trish. Oh, she's trashy. She stinks. But when I name her, it gives her less power and I'm able to talk back to her to remove her. Number 9, be your own best friend. Number 10, keep a record of your achievements. You will stop comparing yourself as much and you'll go more to managed comparison when you start seeing just how much growth you've had, just how far you have come. It's important to celebrate those small things, big and small. Number 11, practice intentional self-care. Often we go into comparison because we're just doing too much and we're not taking care of ourselves. Number 12, create more margin in your life. Why? So that you're not exhausted. When an exhausted brain becomes a trashy brain. And trashy Trish, like I said, she likes to compare. She likes to compare and then despair. Number 13, be proactive at your mindset management. That means every day you're taking action. You're not just only reframing your mindset when something's going wrong, but you're very proactive and intentional. That's why coaching is so important. That's why reading and listening to the right things is so important. Number 14, water your own grass. Make your own grass green. Stop worrying about how green your neighbor's grass is or how green their life is. And do something to your own. Number 15, accept where you are. Find beauty in where you are. Number 16, love your past for getting you where you are. Sometimes we compare our past to somebody else and we're like, well, if this hadn't happened and then this, and it would have been easier. Or you could thank your past because what you went through is what contributed to making you who you are now. Number 17, know that your story is not done. The story's not done. That's a beautiful thing. Number 18, decide to not let fear guide your choices. Number 19, turn, we've already mentioned this one, turn comparison into inspiration. Number 20, compare yourself with yourself only. And number 21, take back what belongs to you, which is your power. And it goes back to your ability to decide who you're going to become, what you're going to make of your life, the impact you're going to have, and how you're going to show up in this world. You don't have to compare and freak out and despair and see, am I doing enough? Just decide. And talk to God, hey, show me how to make a difference. Show me who you want me to be. And then go be that person. Hey, some other resources you might like if this particular topic in today's episode resonated with you is in the College of Confidence, we have a Compare and Despair workshop and also a Happiness Optimization workshop. Go to collegeofconfidence.com/join to get instant access to both workshop replays and the full workbooks that correspond with that. So it's Compare and Despair workshop and then the Happiness Optimization workshop. I have over 2 hours of very in-depth coaching for you right there, plus the worksheets and workbooks. It will take what we coached on here to the next level. And if you want to scroll back in some podcast episodes, you've got episode number 419, How to Stop Caring What People Think. That's the 2020 update. And then also episode 462, Confidence for When You Feel Different or Just Plain Discouraged. Because comparison, what it does is it's discouraging. It discourages you. It dejects you. It makes you go to a place of despair. And there's nothing good that can come from those places if you stay there. It's okay to visit the places. It's human to visit the places. And then we step out and we move on. The world needs you. I can't have you just playing small and feeling that despair and giving away your joy and giving away your happiness and letting comparison steal from you. So that episode's going to help. So again, that's episode 462 and episode 419. And then of course, the two workshops that are available instantly when you join us in the COC. Let's close out with our listener of the episode. She said this, Trish, I started listening to your podcast about a year ago. And I stumbled onto an episode after looking for a confidence playlist to work out with. Your calming voice and godly spirit was the breath of fresh air I needed after becoming a new mother. Episode after episode, it seemed as if you were speaking directly to me. I was listening at a time that our daughters were almost the same age, and your message was more than relatable. I ordered Insecurity Detox and have almost finished it, but got distracted by your first book, Skinny Sexy Mind. Once I got an update on your newer podcast episodes, I had to order Straighten Your Crown right away. I'm only through chapter 2, and all I can say is just, wow. I've been struggling with some anxieties and trying to be fully in God's peace. Reading about you feeling him so close made me instantly feel lighter. The way you write is beyond inspiring, and after listening to so many of your awesome podcast episodes, I can practically hear you reading the book to me. God has truly given you a gift, and I hope you always know that what you do matters because it has impacted my life immensely. I also hope one day to publish a book, and studying with you may give me the courage to start. Sincerely, a Jesus-loving mama trying to find her best self for her daughter. And to this mama, I have tears welling up in my eyes as I read this out loud. Thank you. Thank you for your words of affirmation and for your feedback to me, for sharing your story, and for also being vulnerable and courageous enough to tell me about the book that is on your heart. And my words to you are to start. Start writing. Start believing. Decide. Decide the book needs to be out there. Know there's going to be comparison. Know that you're going to experience doubt, but do it anyways. And thank you for the feedback on Straighten Your Crown, you guys. If you love hearing my voice, yeah, pick up a copy of the book because you will feel like I'm reading the book to you. You can get it anywhere that books are sold, but directly on Amazon, go to trishblackwell.com/Amazon and you'll find it right there. Guys, really, really delighted to spend time with you today. I can't wait to see you next week. Make sure you share this episode with a friend. Encourage them. Be a leader. Sharing is caring indeed. Now go out there today. Go be more of who you are. Be you. Be free. Thanks for listening to the Confidence Podcast and allowing me to be your coach in your life. If you love the show, please let us know by leaving a review on iTunes. Are you encouraged by what you learned? Share this episode with a friend and let us know how the show is changing your life by connecting with us on social media, on Facebook at Trish Blackwell Coaching, or on Instagram at Trish_Blackwell. Ready to take what I teach and really take it to the next level? Join us today in the College of Confidence. The College of Confidence is a land of rejuvenation and refreshment, where you go to be recharged, revived, and refocused on what is possible in your life and your ability to impact the world. We open up the vaults and depths of who you are, challenging you, inspiring you, pushing you, and growing you to use absolutely every last ounce of gifting and talent God has breathed into you to the absolute fullest. And I will be there myself every step of the way, getting to know you and cheering you on. Get started at collegeofconfidence.com.